morning, Victory Church. How y'all doing? A couple of you doing good. I'm excited about the Christmas party. Don't forget, date change, December 8th. Just going to be a great time for us as a family, the church family, to get together to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. Don't you love Christmas season? I certainly do. So we're going to kick it off December 8th. It'll be potluck. You need to sign up online. There's information in the bulletin about that. Bring something and just get to meet some people. There's new people, get to know them, and I found that some people have been around for a while and they don't know a lot of people. Maybe they sit on that side and you sit on this side. So Christmas party will be a time just to everybody fellowship and have a great time. Well, it is the first Sunday of the month, and you know what that means. It's time to announce our new, drum roll please, Dream Team Leader of the Month. You guys are great, man. Hey, Jordan, we got some new drummers. We got some potential drummers here. And the new Dream Team Leader of the Month is Adam Jordan. Where is he? He's back there. He's back there. Let me tell you. And, you know, he just earned his PhD. I don't know how many years you've been working on that, but I said last week, I am just amazed. This man is a husband. He's a father. He's got two little children. He works full-time job. He finished his PhD last week. He earned that. But he also, on top of all that, finds time to serve you and me and the church. He makes these, he didn't make this slide because we didn't want him to know. It was a surprise. It's the only one he hasn't made in a long time. But all the things that go on the overhead, they take a lot of time. They take a lot of thought. I give him the message title. He comes up with a creative slide. It's just a lot of work to bless you and to make the service go better. So he does that every week. He's been doing that faithfully. He leads that team. We have a little gift for you. Adam, come on up. I'm not sure why. It's like Nintendo games?
Nintendo, huh? E-cards.
E-cards. I don't know what you're going to do with them. Yeah. I don't think you can eat them.
It's a video game gift
card. Video game gift cards, because I guess that's something that you will enjoy, I guess. You know, better. Is that better than Chick-fil-A for you?
Just as good.
Just as good. Would you like to say anything?
Do it all for God.
Do it all for God. Man, let me tell you, that's one of our core values is, you know, humility. We're not looking for big shots. And I think that has to be our attitude. So I asked him what, and he says, doing it all for God. That needs to be every single one of our attitude, wherever you serve, doing it all for God. Give Adam a big hand. Yeah. He's such a blessing. He's such a good guy. Enjoy your Nintendo, whatever, e-card. Don't eat them. All right, there are sermon notes in your worship guide. If you need an extra copy, raise your hand. The ushers have some extras they would love to give you, and they're for free. They're not even going to charge you. Great ushers we have. Give our ushers a hand. They're awesome. All right, the title of my message today, doesn't this look like a great drawing? Has this got you intrigued? I put that up there ahead of time because it took me so long to draw that man. You can't believe, so I had to do that. I didn't want to waste an hour of your time because, you know, it took a lot of work. But the title of my message today is Wisdom Within. 2 weeks ago, I did a message. The title of my message was The Christ Life Within, and we talked about how the kingdom of God is within you. It's an internal kingdom. It works from the inside out. If you get that mixed up and you try to make it go from the outside in, it doesn't work. So everything else in the world is outside in, and the kingdom of God is from the inside out. So we looked at that 2 weeks ago. And then last week, we talked about the God dream within, how that God places dreams on the inside of every one of us as part of the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is within you, and there's a God dream down on the inside of everybody. And we looked at Proverbs 25:2 that said, it's the glory of a king of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to search it out. That's our mission in life as priests, prophets, and kings under the Most High God, to search out the mystery of your calling and your destiny. Why did he hide it? He didn't hide it from you. He hid it for you to search out and to find it. And then I gave you the 7 qualities of a God dream so that you could look at the dreams that you have and check them with the 7 qualities. If you weren't here last week, you can watch it on the, the website, or you can probably get some notes from last week, and take your dream and check the seven qualities, and it'll help you to know whether it's a God dream or a man dream. Now, today, I want to talk about continuing, it's kind of like a series, Wisdom Within. How many would like to have wisdom? Wisdom from God. What is wisdom? Books have been written to try to define wisdom. It has a lot of different aspects to it. I want to focus in on one thing that is applicable to our lives. I don't want to talk a lot about theory or philosophy or hermeneutics or homiletics or, you know, get into theological discussions. I want to talk about something practical pertaining to wisdom that will help me and you in the nitty-gritty of life. So my working definition for our intensive, our discussion today of wisdom is this. Wisdom is knowing what to do. How many of you wanted to know what to do in a situation? What do I do? Should I work? Should I not? Should I go to school or not? What degree should I take? Should I date this person? Should I marry this person? Should I buy a new car? Should I fix up my old car? Should I move? Should I change careers? How many can relate to the fact that we make a lot of decisions, and wisdom is knowing what to do. I don't know about you, but I'd like some help in life in knowing what to do. So the question is, does God have anything in his word or in his nature that he's willing to help us make decisions? So I'm here today to tell you he does want to help us, and that's what we're going to talk about, how to tap into God's wisdom, because there are two types of wisdom, and they are this, the wisdom of man, and the other type is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man is not bad. In fact, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about you and I gaining wisdom. All right, Adam just got his PhD. It means he learned a whole lot about a certain subject. Is that evil? No, that's not evil. But I want to tell you today, you need to pursue wisdom. You need to pursue understanding. You need to pursue knowledge. But don't stop with, go back to that last slide, don't stop with the wisdom of man. I want to teach you today how to tap into the wisdom of God. How many of you think that the wisdom of God is better than the wisdom of man? Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. In case you're not sure, we'll read this verse of Scripture. It says this, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? So what he's saying is a comparison. He's not saying don't get, if you read it in context, and of course the rest of Scripture, because Proverbs talks a lot about gaining wisdom. He's not saying that earthly wisdom, that man's wisdom is bad. He's just drawing a comparison and say, if you compare the smartest person in the world to God, it's like comparing a person with a PhD to someone starting kindergarten or even more. He says, if you compare it, then it's just foolishness. Why does he say it's foolishness? And again, he's not saying to not get wisdom, but he's saying it doesn't compare, because no matter how smart you are, how much knowledge you obtain, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and God does. God knows the future. God knows everything. He knows all things. He knows things that we don't know. So he's drawing a comparison, and he's saying the wisdom of God makes the smartest person in the world look foolish. There's no comparison. Here it is again in Isaiah chapter 55, and God's speaking to us, and he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Now, we're going to read some more of this passage later, but he's not saying that to make us feel stupid. He's saying that to encourage us to rise up, because he's going to share how he shares his ways and his thoughts with man. That's what we want to learn today, how to become more like God, how to tap into his wisdom. He's saying that to entice us to get off of just depending on our wisdom and asking him for his wisdom. He's encouraging us to move up to a higher level to his wisdom. So my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. There is no comparison. But the question is, does he send it down? Yes, he does. He sends it to those who want it, and he wants to give it. How many of you remember a man in the Bible named Solomon? Probably most, even if you've never been to church, you've probably heard of Solomon, the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon was a David, King David's son, and he became the king of Israel. He took over after David, and he became king. And one day God talks to him face to face, and he says to him, he says, ask me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? It's kind of like those movies, you know, like the genie pops out and says, ask, and I'll give you grant you three wishes. How many of you ever wanted that to happen to you? I did when I was a kid. It's like, yeah, I want those three wishes. And I was even sat there and thought, what would my three wishes be? Well, here's God, the creator of the universe, standing in front of a man and saying, I'm going to grant you a wish. Woo, that's pretty good right there, isn't it? What would you ask for? What would you ask for if this was you? If you were Solomon and God stood there and said, go ahead. Go ahead, tell me. What do you want? You got right now. Go ahead, tell me what you want. What would you say? What would you say right now? Well, let's pick up the story here in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and see what Solomon, how he responds to this amazing offer the king of the universe is giving him. Ask me anything and I'll give it to you. What would you ask for? Solomon responds this way. Give me now wisdom and knowledge. You can have anything, Solomon. You can have anything. And Solomon says, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I might go out and come in before this people. For who can rule this great people of yours? He felt the responsibility of the call of God. I want to challenge you today. We've talked about the God dream within. We've talked about the Christ life within. Do you have a God dream? We talk about getting that God dream. Now, if God stood before you, what would you need? Would you want to fulfill the God dream that God has for your life? Or is it, if you had the opportunity to do anything, would you just do something else? Would you depart? Would you go in another direction? Would you ask for something for, you know, selfish motives or just to spend it on yourself? Or would you, like Solomon, say, you know what, God, I realize the task that you've given me. It's bigger than what I can do in my own strength. Would you, if you're working in preschool, let's say you serve in preschool, and God came up to you, would you say, Lord, I have such an opportunity to minister to little children. Would you give me a greater anointing to explain the kingdom of God on a three-year-old's level to put it into their heart? Would that be the cry of your heart? Because that's what Solomon is basically saying. He's not asking anything for himself. He's saying, I recognize the calling that's on my life, and I can't do it in my own strength. It's too big for me. You might say, well, I'm not the king. I don't have that. But every one of us has been given something that you're responsible for. Amen. Some kind of gifting, some kind of talent, some kind of opportunity. People in your life that you have the opportunity to influence in a God honor, to help them move in a God-honoring direction. Would your cry be like Solomon's and say, you know, I got these people at work that they hate you and they're complaining and they don't like me. Would you give me an opportunity? Would you give me an anointing? Would you give me an ability to cause them to have a hunger for you? Would that be the cry of your life? Is that what you're thinking about with the genie of the bottle popped out and said, I'm going to give you three wishes? If God's, and it's challenging to me to think about how this man Solomon saw life and what he wanted out of life and what was important to him. That's the most challenging thing about this passage. And when we talk about Solomon and God granting him what he wanted. And he said, give me now wisdom and knowledge, not so that I could be rich, not so that everybody would come after me. He said, he explained why he wanted wisdom and knowledge. He said, give me wisdom and knowledge that I might go out and come in before the people. For who can rule this great people of yours? He's saying the task is too big for me. And you know what? As I said last week, the seven keys to a God dream, it has to be bigger than anything you can do in your own strength. A true God dream will require more of you than you have in yourself. It will require dependency upon God, where you were like Solomon and you say, oh, God, help me with this dream that I have that you have given me. You're going to need God's power to fulfill a God dream within. That's the way it works. Other than if not, then it's not a God dream if you could do it in your own strength. So the wise thing would be, as we're seeking for wisdom, to come to God. Now watch how God responds to the man Solomon and his heart. What does God look at? God looks at the heart. The Bible says man looks at the outside and God looks at the heart. That's why it's never good to judge your neighbor or judge someone in the church or on TV or whatever. That's not our job. You don't need to do that. Let God do that. We don't know what's in their heart. But God speaks to what was in Solomon's heart, and God said to Solomon, as the passage goes on, because you had this in mind and did not ask for riches, wealth, or honor, or the life of those who hate you. So he had a lot of people that hated him. Maybe that was the first thing he would think of. You know, I got some people. You going to do anything I ask? And God said he would do anything he asked. And he could have asked for some people's heads right then. What would you ask for? Would you ask for some heads? Would you ask for some vengeance? Would you ask for some retribution for some people to get back what they deserve? He said, you didn't even ask for the life of those who hate you, nor have you asked for long life. He could have asked to live 500 years, whatever. He could have asked for riches. Now watch this. But you have asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge that you may rule my people. So I want to challenge you today. What is the area of responsibility in the kingdom of God that God has given you? Maybe you're just learning. Maybe you're just figuring it out. But as you're figuring it out, maybe you know I'm called to be a musician. I feel fulfilled when I work in children's ministry. I like coming during the week and cleaning the church. I feel like I'm a good greeter. I feel like I'm good in the parking lot. I'm a good usher. And would you say like this man? He says, "Acknowledge that you may rule my people, but you have asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge that you may be the best usher you could possibly be." You say, really? You say, come on, is that important? Is it really important? I mean, you know, we're talking about changing the world and winning the world. Is being an usher all that important? Has anybody ever heard of a guy named Billy Graham? How many of you have heard of Billy Graham? Billy Graham, the great Billy Graham? They say he won more people to the Lord than any single person in the history of the planet. It was how many millions of people. He preached in person through the TV, over 2 billion people. I don't remember how many million. What a great evangelist. We've all heard of Billy Graham. Do you know we would never even know a Billy Graham? Billy Graham wouldn't even be saved if it weren't for an usher. When Billy Graham was 16 years old, they were having a tent revival in his city in North Carolina, and him and two of his friends said they're going to go disrupt this. We're going to go have some fun, and they said we're going to go in there and we're going to disrupt this meeting. We're going to, you know, they were like the early terrorists. We're going to terrorize this, and they had a plan, and they split up. And as Billy Graham walked into the tent, an usher didn't know Billy, and Billy didn't know him. He was a farmer. An usher walked up and put his arm around him and said, I'm so glad you're here today, son. I've got a seat saved for you. And he took him up to the front row and sat him on the front row. So Billy Graham was not able to fulfill the plan that he had. He couldn't cooperate with his friends, so it disrupted their plan to disrupt the meeting. But instead, since he was on the front row, he heard the message and gave his life to the Lord and eventually became what we know as Billy Graham. Why? Because of an usher. Because of an usher being led by the Holy Spirit. See how you don't look at any job in the church or in the kingdom and say it's insignificant. Because that usher then is responsible for those millions of people that gave their life to the Lord. When Billy Graham stands before God and gets all his crowns and accolades, it's all going to also go to that one usher that changed the course of history by putting his arm, by being led by the Holy Spirit, and putting Billy Graham up in the front row. Who knows who you're affecting today in your life at your work and in preschool? We give so much honor and respect and resources as we can to our children's ministry. We never take for granted any one of those young people, who they can be next year, 10 years from now, in the kingdom of God. It's so important. He said, but you asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge that you may rule my people. It was important, the motive of why he asked. He didn't just ask for wisdom and knowledge so that he could come up with some great invention and be a billionaire. He asked so he could handle the responsibilities that God had given him, that you may rule my people over whom I have made you king. And I ask you today, over what has God made you king? don't look at it and say, well, yeah, but I don't have that guy's ministry, that guy's job, that guy's responsibility. God has made you a king over something. This is men and women, every one of you. He's made you a king, a ruler, something. There's something in your charge, in your work that, you know, ask God for wisdom how to share the gospel with people. Everybody you know is going to die. And when they die, they will stand before God and give an account of their life, and they will go one of two places, heaven or hell. That's a sobering thought. What influence can I have on this person's eternal destiny? Over whom wisdom, he said, over what I've made you king, wisdom and knowledge have been granted you. Watch this. He said, I'm going to give you what you asked for, and I'm going to give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings who were before you had possessed, nor those who will come after you. Because you didn't ask for these other things, he said, I'm going to give you what you asked for, and I'm going to give you all these things. Woo, glory, that's pretty good. Because his heart was right, because then God knew he could trust him. See, because if we're going after those things, then he probably can't give it to us, because that's going to be our God, and then we'll worship another God. When we come to him and say, I don't need all that stuff, I need to do better, a better job at what you've called me to do, he says, okay, I can trust you with more stuff, because I know where your heart is. Your heart's in the kingdom. And history tells us that Solomon, nobody has ever amassed the fortune that Solomon did. In all the history of the world, nobody ever had as much wealth before or after, because that's what the scripture says, as Solomon. He was the richest man on the earth, to the extent that silver became worthless in his kingdom. He had so much gold that they didn't even care about silver. They kicked it down the street. That's never happened before. It never happened. If you added up his math, it tells you how much gold he had. It doesn't even come near anybody on this planet ever amassing that much wealth. And why? Because God could trust him. I ask you today, would you rather have riches or wisdom? If the genie stood there, if God stood there and said, I'll make you richer than Bill Gates or Bezos or all these guys, I'll make you, how much you want? You want a trillion? I'll give you a trillion, or I'll give you wisdom. Which would you take? Trillion or wisdom? Trillion or wisdom? And that's what God's asking us today. So he's asking us every day, and he's making his wisdom available. Would you rather, and here's another question. Would you rather you figure out what to do? So wisdom is knowing what to do. Would you rather you figure out what to do or God figure out what to do? Thinking about something in your life? Are you trying to make a decision? Anybody in here trying to make a decision about something, anything? It might be buying, do I go that blue car or the red car? Do I take this job? Got to. We all make decisions, lots of decisions, right? Would you rather you figure it out or would you rather God figure it out? Who do you think has a better understanding of life and the future? Proverbs 3 says this. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your, what? Heart. This is where it starts. This is what God was looking at Solomon's heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on what? Your own understanding. Now, again, we go back. Proverbs and Psalms is full of encouragement to increase understanding, increase knowledge, and so he tells us to get it, but then he tells us not to rely solely upon your own ability to figure things out. Lean not on your own understanding in what? All your ways, what? Acknowledge him, and what will he do? He will make your path straight. Do not be wise. What's being wise in your own? I've got this, God. I've got it. Don't need your help on this one. I don't know about you, but I could tell you a few stories about how I've done that. It didn't turn out too well. Got this one, God. Got it. Hey, this is an easy one. You say, well, how small can we get? How, you know, minute can we make these kind of decisions? However small, how much you want God to help you with that decision? What I found is God's willing to share his wisdom with us. We're going to look at that a little more. That's hence my beautiful diagram that I have here today. So what we have here, we're talking about this scripture right here. Trust in the Lord with all your what? Heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. So the picture that I've got here that took me so long to put together for you, here is this is just the edge of God, okay? So this represents God, you know, being up there in heaven, and this is me, or in this case, this is you, all right? You like my hairdo there? Got a nice little hairdo right there. Okay, this is my man. This is us. This is me. This is you. And the way it works, and he says, don't lean on your own understanding. Where is that? That's right up here in your head, your brain, your mind, figuring stuff out, right? You have a brain. You're supposed to use it. God gave you a brain. You're supposed to put stuff in it. You're supposed to, all right? But what he's saying, when it comes time to make a decision, you got two choices. You can use this thing right here, and guess what? You're going to come up with a decision that's going to lead to this response over here. This is what you're going to do. What God's asking us to do is to check in with him. Now, what did he say? Trust in the Lord with all your, what? Heart. So you got this thing in the middle of your being. It's not the pump, the blood pump, but that's a good representation. Your heart is actually the core, the center, the heart of the matter, like the heart of a tree. And so the physical heart is a good representation. We use that. But he's saying, trust in the Lord with, not trust in him with all your, now you use your mind, don't you? But the problem is when you use your mind and you don't check in with your heart. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay, so remember when Jesus was talking to his the crowd out there, and he said, he who has, see, I gave this guy a couple of ears right here, and he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And there was a big crowd out there, and probably people looked around and said, well, everybody's got ears. I mean, if you said that today, and he said, he who has ears to hear, and you look around, you go, well, everybody's got ears. He who has ears to hear. He's not talking about this ear. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about this ear. The ear that's in the middle of your heart. There's an ear in your heart. It's a sensitivity that's tuned to God. Not just, and you know what? Of all the times that God has spoken to me in life, I've never heard him with these things. I've never heard him with those ears. It's always the ear that's in the middle of your heart. There's an ear in the middle of your heart. And did you know that it's an art to hear with the ear that's in the middle of your heart? And you have to develop that art. You learn how to use that inner ear that's sensitive to God, that's tuned to God. So he's and now what happens is if I connect my heart to God, what he speaks to my heart will enlighten my understanding, and I'll make this decision over here. It will be very different than this decision over here. They're like opposite. And that's the way it is, because when I look at something and I figure it out and I say, okay, this is the way to go, this is what I need to do, and then I go to the Lord, he usually has a different idea. Unless my thinking has actually been touched by the Word and communion with God and the Holy Spirit. And that's what we have to check into. That's why it's never good to just go back to that verse right there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what? He will make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own way. Don't say, I don't need God. So I'll tell you about this little story about back in, I think it was about 1990, I was running the ice cream plant there in Orange Lake, and I went to a business seminar in Orlando, different aspects of business and marketing and strategies and so forth, and it was, you had to pay a lot of money. They had experts in every field, and it was down in Orlando, and I remember going down there, and one of the parts was taught by a world-renowned economist who had worked for the Federal Reserve. It's one of the, if you're an economist, that's like the top. And he was world renowned. And his speech was on the economy and on trends and on interest rates, which is very important to somebody who's in business. If you can predict the interest rate and know where it's gonna go, it makes a big difference in your business decisions. And this man, who was an expert in his field, he was giving us information and charts and graphs, and he was talking about interest rates. Now, I don't know if you remember, but back in the late 70s, interest rates were rather high. Like a home mortgage was running around 15%. Consumer lending was up as high as it could go, up 19%. But now here we are in 1990. Rates were relatively low. The average lending rate was about 8%. And this man was given this long speech with all the details, and he was telling us how that, based on his expertise and inside information with the Federal Reserve and the State Department, he was 100% sure that interest rates were going to go back to 1978-79 levels. He said, get prepared, make adjustments, and so forth. So I remember coming back from that, and Rebecca and I, we had just bought a house in Gainesville, and it was a year old. We had assumed the mortgage from the previous owner, and it was a variable rate mortgage. You know what that means? That means it goes up and down with this curve. And it had a conversion feature, which meant that we had so many years to exercise the conversion option and turn it into a fixed mortgage, which means the rate would not change. You with me so far? Okay. So we were in a variable rate mortgage, which was around 8%. And to use the conversion factor, it would go to 9%, but then it wouldn't change. It would be stuck there for the rest of the life of the loan, right? So having come back from that meeting, I said, well, I got to exercise that conversion factor. And I don't remember we talked about it or what, but I'm sure we did. And I did. I exercised the conversion factor, and I turned that into a 9% fixed so it wouldn't go up. Why? Because I don't want it going up to 15%. It's going to cost me too much money. So what happened? I had to pay more, but I'm saving myself money in the long run, right? Do you see a problem here already? Okay, problem. Okay, so then I called my friend Lee Grady, which a lot of you know Lee Grady. He's a great missionary, travels all around the world. And he's a friend of mine. We were roommates in college. And he had just bought a house in Gainesville also, and I knew that he had a variable rate mortgage. So I called him, and I told him about all this wonderful knowledge that I had obtained. And he said this. I said, you need to convert your variable rate mortgage to fixed rate right away. And he said, I'll pray about it. Now, when he said that, all the blood rushed out of my head, down into my feet, and I had a sick feeling in my stomach, and I thought, dang it! Oh, my goodness. As soon as he said that, I thought, what the heck have I done? I didn't pray about it. But do I really need to? Because I've got the most accurate information available in the world. I've got inside information from a guy from the Federal Reserve. He's told me. But when he said, I'll pray about it, I had a sick feeling in my stomach because I knew I hadn't prayed about it. And I waited a few days, and I called Lee back, and I said, Lee, have you prayed about it? And he said, yeah, God told me not to convert it. The interest rates are going to go down. And if you know anything, from 1990, the rates were the highest that they've been in the last 40 years. At that point, they've continued to go down. And every year, I would look and see what the discount rate was, and it kept dropping a quarter and a half a point every year, to where at the end of 10 years, when we finally sold that house, I'm still paying 9% fixed, and it had gone down over the next 10 years from 8 down to 6. I would have been saving money, it was costing me, and every month I would write that check and I'd say, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge me, and I will what? Direct your path. All I needed to do was not assume that I had the best information available, check in with God, and it would have saved me thousands of dollars. How do I get God's wisdom? Isaiah 55, let's go back to that, which we read, which kind of left us hanging there, didn't he? When he said, my ways are higher than your ways, but then we're going to pick up where we left off. So I'm going to read that first part first, and then just the next verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. For, the next verse, for, watch this. He doesn't want to leave us there. He's not saying that to, you know, just threaten, you know, make, oh, I'm so great and you're, no. He's trying to pull us up to where he's at. Watch this. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and what does it do? And they do not return there without watering the earth, making it barren sprout. So it's a cycle, right? The rain and snow come down, they make it barren, and they evaporate and they go back up and they, all right? And it furnishes seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In other words, it does something good. Watch this. So shall what? my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. That's why I encourage you all the time, read the Bible. Spend time in the Word. You want to get wisdom? I'm going to give you some ways to get wisdom. The first is spend time in the Word of God. So will my word be. That's why you need to read the Bible every day. So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter which I sent it. God put his wisdom in the Bible. Another key to getting wisdom is to care about people. Because what was the motive of Solomon's heart? I care about these people. You want to get wisdom. You want to get God to release his blessing and power in your life. Care about what God cares about. Care about people. And who does he care about the most? Remember the story? He had 100 sheep and one got lost. And what did he do? He made them sure the 99 were safe, and he dropped everything, and he went after the one that was lost. Who in your life is the one that God's going after? You want God to release wisdom in your life? Ask him for power, strength, and resources to help you reach the people around you that are lost. Care about God's people. Look at this, Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he who is wise, we're talking about wisdom, right? He who is wise, what does he do? He wins souls. He who is wise wins souls. If you're really wise, you have God's heart and you win souls. And so if you want to be sure that you're counted in that, start doing something to win souls. That's why I've shared with you what the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? I think we got that slide. Does anybody remember what is the kingdom of God? An easy way to remember what the kingdom of God is two things. What is it, number one? What is it? Knowing God. And what's the second thing the kingdom of God is? It's helping others to know God. That's very simple. Every one of us need to be thinking about this every day. Investing in knowing God. What are you doing every day to know God better? And what are you doing with your life to help others know God? And so I share with you the number one, there's four things you do in life to help you know God better. It's very simple. You pray. That's simply talking to God. Talk to God all day. Talk to God as much as you can. You'll know God better. The next thing you do is read your Bible. You want to know God? Read the love letter that he sent us. The next thing you do is be a part of a church. Be involved. You don't attend church. You don't go to church. You are church. You are the church. That's what the word literally means. Called out ones. It's people. You go to church. You want to develop your relationship with God, go to church and give. There must be an outflow or else you become stagnant. So in your journey to know God, there's four things that help you to know God. The number one part of the kingdom of God, pray, read your Bible consistently, be a part of the church, and give. And then the second part, number two, helping others, three things you can do to help others know God. Number one, you can simply invite people to church, which I told the story a couple weeks ago, how Dustin continued to invite Tegan for about 2 years. When she came, God changed her life, completely turned it right side up. So many good things are happening, and God's blessed her. And then also Dustin, he does this thing. He invites people to church. That's why two people are getting water baptized today, because he invited his coworker Travis, and Emily came with Travis, and they have given their hearts to the Lord, and they want to be water baptized. They're taking a major step today in their life. God's doing great things. Amen. And how did that happen? It's simple. You say, well, I'm not a theologian. I don't know. All he did was invite them. Let God do the rest. The reason I'm standing up here today is because my aunt used to invite me every week to come to a little church service that she had in her house, a Bible study in her house, and she didn't give up, and I didn't want to go. I could care less about going. I finally went to get her off my back, and long story short, here I am today. Why? Because of an invitation. That's how easy it is. How can you be used of God to help people know God? Invite people to church, and then we take it from there. There's another thing you can do, and that is to serve somewhere. Otherwise, you don't have a church to invite anybody to. Nothing's happening. So find a place to serve. Get involved. That's what makes church happen. So how do I know God? These four things. How do I help people know God? These three things, invite people, serve, and then the third thing that we talk about often, tell your story. Tell your story. Practice your story. Learn how to tell your story. Figure out how to tell your story in 10 seconds, in 1 minute, in 2 minutes, in 5 minutes, and then you have a long story, but you need to get it down to fit the application of the situation you're in. I told you things last month about how God used my ability to share the story with somebody in 5 seconds that changed their life. And learn how to tell your story. Your story is powerful. Your story is valuable. Yeah, it's in progress. It's a work in progress, but you can share the story that you have up till now, and your story is going to continue to develop. So you do these seven things, and you'll be fulfilling. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Knowing God, helping others know God. Here's how you do that. Do what you can to be wise. Ask God. Now, here's my final scripture, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. James, writing this, the brother of Jesus, he said, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. How many are counting various trials? I certainly am. And he said, consider it all joy. Now watch, here's how to get through the trials. Everything what we're talking about right now. Knowing that the testing of your, what? Faith produces endurance. So the trial that you're going through, you got to have faith to get through it. But you also need wisdom. It's going to come out in a second. Now they're connected. Watch this. The testing of your faith produces endurance. You're going through a test. It's testing your faith. What do you believe? How long can you hold on? When will you give up? When will you release your faith and say, I give up. God's not going to do it. Huh? Abraham had to wait 25 years for the promise of his son to come to pass. But it said he didn't grow weak. He grew strong in faith, considering that what God had promised he was able to perform. Your faith is being tested. Whatever you're going through right now is being tested. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, so that here's what God wants for you, right? That you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. How many think that's pretty good stuff?
Yeah.
How many want to lack nothing, right? What did Solomon lack? Nothing, right? Now that's the next verse. But if any of you, look at this, lacks wisdom, there's the problem right there. This is how you don't receive the fulfillment. We lack wisdom. We don't know what to do. We do the wrong things. Why do we do the wrong things? Because we lean to our own understanding instead of connecting our heart to God and having him tell us what to do. If any of you lacks wisdom, the key to getting through your test and your trial is the wisdom of God. Now he's going to tell you how to get wisdom, right? If any of you lacks wisdom, watch this. Let him ask of God. What did Solomon do? He asked of God. God gave him the opportunity. Let him ask of God. Ask what? Wisdom. Yeah. You say, I'm facing a difficult circumstance, and I need this, and I need that, and I need that. You know what we actually need? Wisdom. We think if we, God, give me this, and my problem will be solved. And God's saying, no, look for wisdom. Wisdom, and you'll be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We need to go to God and ask for wisdom. And any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who does what? Gives to all generously. He's not stingy. He's not trying to hold on to his wisdom. Oh, I only have a little bit. I don't want to give. He's got an infinite supply. He will readily release his wisdom into our heart, and that'll enlighten our mind, and then we'll make the right decision. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach. It will be given to him, but he must ask what? He has to ask in faith without any doubting, and that is the challenge right there. That's why you go to church, because you get around other people that will help you not doubt. They will encourage your faith. Ask in faith without any doubting. That's why the Bible says, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but let us join together, encourage one another. See, we need to find ways to put courage in each other. It's okay. You don't tell your problems to everybody, do you? But there should be some people in your life, and hopefully some people in the church that you've developed relationships with. That's why we got small groups, so you can get to know some people on a small, somebody that you can tell your struggles to. And what should your response be when somebody tells you their struggle? It's right here, the solution right here. Let him ask in faith without any doubting. Why are we struggling? We need more faith. Every one of us needs more faith. And we need to see that as an opportunity. When somebody comes to you and says, you don't know what I'm going through. You can't fix everybody's problems. You can't solve anybody's problems. What we're commanded to do in Scripture is to put courage in each other. And how do we do that? We encourage you. Believe God, brother. You're going to make it. Don't give up. Don't doubt now. Don't give up now. Breakthrough is just around the corner. Come on. Breakthrough is just around the corner. Don't give up. Keep believing.
Yeah,
we need to encourage one another. Church is about encouraging one another. So we ask for wisdom. We ask God who gives liberally. And when it comes, it's going to solve all those things that we're facing. It's going to fix that. What is it? Let him ask in faith without any doubt. I just want to encourage you to don't give up on what you're believing for. Don't give up. The devil tries to get you to give up and say, oh, you're believing for too much or the wrong thing or who are you? Don't and just give up. God's not going to do it. God's not going to. God doesn't love you. That's what the devil says. You know, I was 20 years old when I got saved. And after I got saved, the devil said, you're not a Christian. It's funny, he never told me that before. For 20 years, I wasn't a Christian. The devil never told me, you're not a Christian. He never told me that until I became a Christian. And he said, you're not saved. Look at you. And yeah, don't listen to the devil. He's a liar. Get some friends. Get in a circle of belief. People of faith. Get some people of faith around you. Encourage you. Put faith in you. And what will happen? It will release the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God in your life. So let me just wrap it up. How do I get the wisdom of God? You ask God. It's in your notes. It's in the back. You care about people. You trust God. And you act accordingly. And what will happen? God will give you his wisdom. And you will make right decisions. When you do that, your life will be blessed. When you do that, you'll be a blessing to others. And when you do that, God gets all the glory. Anybody get anything out of this today? Wisdom from God. We need wisdom from God. Let's pray. Father, we just bring our lives to you and we bring our problems to you. We all got problems. We all got stuff that we're facing. We're all facing trials and tests. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials and tests, knowing that the testing of your faith, I'm just speaking to somebody here today. No, 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 no. No, you're going to make it through this test. Just say to yourself, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it through this thing. And when I get through this thing, I'm going to be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. God's on my side. God's for me. If God be for me, who can be against me? It doesn't matter how many people are against me. If God's for me, God is God all by himself. No one can challenge God. Nobody can beat God. Nobody can one-up God. If I'm in the will of God and seeking, I'm not perfect. Forget about that. You're not perfect. No, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to walk in faith. Believe that God's on your side. Why? Because you're on God's side. Because you're seeking after him. Even when we make mistakes, Solomon made a lot of mistakes. God didn't back off of them. You make mistakes. I make mistakes. Don't think you're ever going to get to a place in life where you don't make mistakes. Just keep coming back to God. Just keep bringing your mistakes to God. Say, I messed up, God. He says, that's okay. Get up, get up, get up, get up. The righteous man falls 7 times. He keeps getting up. The only way you can lose is don't get up. Just get up. Come on, get up in your heart. Some of you ready to give up. You want to give up. You want to stay down. No, don't stay down. The only way to lose in the kingdom of God is to just quit and give up. Don't give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Father, I just speak faith into every person here today. Faith in their heart. Faith in their mind. Seeking you, Lord God. We're going to give our lives completely to you and ask you for wisdom. And you said you give it freely and upbraideth not. You're going to pour wisdom into our hearts. I ask you to pour wisdom. If you want wisdom from God, would you just look up to heaven and say, God, pour your wisdom just in your heart. Just say, give me your wisdom, Lord God. Give me your wisdom, Lord God. Put your wisdom in me. I need to make this decision. I need to know. Have you got a decision in front of you? Give me your wisdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that wisdom coming into our hearts right now. Right now, with every head bowed and eye closed, I got a very important question for you, and that is this. If you died tonight, Would you go to heaven if you died tonight? Would you go to heaven? You say, I don't know. I think so. Not sure. Does anybody know for sure? Yeah, you can know for sure. Bible says, I've written these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you must be born again. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Having Christian parents doesn't make you a Christian. Owning a Bible doesn't make you a Christian. You have to be born again. That simply means there comes a time in your life when you ask God to forgive your sins, come into your heart, make you into a new person. If you've never done that, you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and we're going to take care of that. It's really very simple. You might be here today, and you say, you know what, Pastor, I did that in the past, but really, I'm not where I need to be with God, and I want to get back on track with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and come forward. But if either one of those two apply to you and you want me to pray for you and you're willing to make a fresh start, we just slip up your hand right now and say, I want to be sure if I die tonight, go to heaven. Or I need to get back on track. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. It's a new day. It's a fresh day. Fresh start. You want to get back on track or you want to get on track? Put your hands down. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God. Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, on your connection card, there's a little box, and if you check it, I'll send you some special materials in the mail. At the end of the service, we're going to have some prayer teams up here after the baptism. The prayer teams will be up here to pray with anybody that needs prayer for anything. If you don't have a Bible, come on up. We want to give you a Bible. Put your name in it. Don't forget to put your connection cards in the offering basket when they come by. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. Here's my offering scripture. It's the verse that we already read. I'm going to continue reading. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. Then it goes on. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body, refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth. And from the first, this is part of wisdom. The first, that's talking about the tithe, is our first fruit, the first tenth of any increase that we receive. From the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will overflow with new wine. There's three ways to give. You can give in the envelope. You can go on the website and give. You can text to give. If you're giving to the Bahama Relief Effort, note that. If you're giving toward the building fund, note that. And if you're giving to just help with our additional expenses now that we're in the new building, we still haven't paid off all the building fund, so you can give toward that. Or you can just, if you just want to give toward the extra expenses, you can just mark it tithes and it'll go toward that. Let's pray over the offering. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Good seed into good soil. I ask you to take these gifts, multiply them, make them do more than we ever thought they could do. I ask you to give back to the giver, 100-fold return, which you promised your disciples in every area of life. Now I speak this blessing over your people that you told Moses to speak over your people. I say they're blessed coming in, they're blessed going out. In the city, in the country, in their home, in the field, when they lie down, when they get up, blessed is their bread and their water, their basket, their bowl, their barn, their bank account, their job, their home, their animals, everything that they have. I command the blessing of God upon them. I say if the enemy comes against them one way, he'll flee seven ways before their face. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against them in judgment, they'll condemn with the word of God. They're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. They'll lend and not borrow. And all they put their hand to, they'll prosper. I call increase into God's people, spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, social increase, blessings from every direction, opportunity to pray for the sick and lead people to Christ in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed with that said, amen. God bless you as you give.